We will head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome back to Atlanta, recently from Las Vegas, although I know he's been in town for a couple of days now. Caleb Johnson, Atlanta Hawks reporter here on 92.9 The Game. Caleb, I guess we'll start here. A disappointing summer league for a variety of reasons. The biggest one for me is that we only got two games out of Zachary Risacher. He was dealing with a quad contusion that kept him out of the final three there. But in those two games, Caleb, what did you happen to notice about the Hawks' number one draft pick?
Yeah, no, Abe, on the one hand, I get that we only saw two games from him, but that's honestly not that, uncommon for a lot of top draft picks. Now, we did hear going into the summer league that both, the head coach of the summer league team, Ronald Norrid, and Landry Fields were big on like, oh, yeah, Zach's going to play. And you had to wonder, just because of the fact that when Zach was drafted, he had just come from playing overseas in the playoffs. So, like, he played later in the year than anyone else who was drafted outside of, maybe Alex Saar and Batalis, who went to Chicago. So that was kind of the thing with that, is that he was always going to be monitored for how deep into the summer they wanted him to play. But then this injury popped up, which is a bit concerning, given that if they just wanted to rest him, they would have just said, hey, he's out for rest. So this is a legitimate thing. But as far as what I saw from him, I mean, everything that was a bit concerning, I guess, was kind of answered for me, which was, all right, how aggressive is he going to be when the ball is in his hands? Because we know his playing style is one that he doesn't need the ball in his hands and doesn't necessarily seek that out. So when it does happen, how passive is he and how aggressive is he? And what I saw from him was a guy who was very aggressive, a guy who did not mind putting up shots, did not mind, trying to make the right read and make the right play, instead of someone who I think, we were all just a bit concerned or wondered if he was going to be the type that when the lights turned on and this is a big moment, if he was going to kind of be like, hey, someone else can have the ball and I'll run to the opposite corner, all those sorts of things. I think the other part of this was, how is this all going to look defensively? Because, yes, he is just 19 years old, and, he is a pretty thin guy coming out of the draft. And so how is he going to be able to handle point-of-attack defense, which is a strong suit of his? And I think he showed a really strong ability there about, staying on the ball, staying in front of guys. Stuff that Quinn Snyder harps about all the time was just some really strong abilities that came out of Zachary Risacher. And I feel like this has got to be a guy who, we know Trae Young was pretty quiet right after the Hawks won the lottery and after the Hawks drafted Zachary Risacher to Atlanta. But I feel we've heard from Trae more recently, whether it was on the broadcast after the they played against the Spurs, or it was him responding to a fan on Twitter just the other day about his excitement of playing with Zachary Risacher. And I feel like that's got to be real, because he's seeing, oh, this guy who's about to join the team or who has joined the team is a guy who isn't selfish. He's team first and he's a strong defender, all things that are really help around Trae Young.
Caleb Johnson, 99 The Game Hawks reporter, joining us here on the Abe TL Show. I want to continue on this Trae Young path here. What do you make from his attendance at the Summer League games there in Vegas, and then also the pictures that were shared earlier today? Pictures, it's tough to tell, but it looked like Risacher and Trae were doing a hill workout in sand. They may have just been enjoying a day at the beach. What's going on out there?
No, that was Jalen Johnson.
Oh, was it?
That was Jalen and Trae. So it's good. I mean, it's all good things. I would not have overreacted if Trae didn't come to Summer League, but I thought it was a good sign of respect. It was a good sign of support for Reza Shea and the other Hawks who were out there competing. Look, I mean, Trey, at this point in his career and his life, he's a pretty busy guy in the summer. Not only is he doing training, but just a couple, like on the day that the Hawks opened up against the Wizards, Trey was in L.A. being a part of a podcast with Matt Barnes and some other people. And so, like, it's not like he's just chilling at the house and is, you know, selfish and is like, oh, I'm not going out there. Like, he has stuff going on. And so to see him come out for that Spurs game to show his support along with Jalen Johnson was really good to see. To see him working out with Jalen in the summer feels like, look, this is great. This is the exact kind of thing that you want to see from your star, which, you know, we had kind of wondered leading up to the DeJounte Murray trade of who was going to stay, who was going to go. As soon as DeJounte was shipped out of town, that told me, okay, the focus is on Trey. I know a lot of people were on this, you know, oh, maybe they'll trade both. I just don't think that was ever in the cards because right, wrong, or indifferent, you want a star on your team, and there is no incentive for the Hawks to tank. And so because of that, you still want to be good. And while Trey, yes, has said, I want to win and I want to win now, maybe he's also had a bit of a reality check and seen that, hey, the market might not be as robust as he thought it would be. And so it is in his best interest to make nice with everyone in Atlanta to make this thing work. And if there is a plan in the future, say at this year's trade deadline or in next offseason, you know, if there is a point in which to trade Trey, you know, I think he wants his value at its best, and he wants the interest at its best. And I quite honestly, I don't think it's there. So I think he is doing all of the right things right now of you know, pairing up with teammates, of supporting Zachary Reza Shea, of supporting him on social media, doing all of those sorts of things so that they can be a more cohesive group, you know, come regular season time.
Caleb, a couple other things outside of Reza Shea I was hoping to get at Summer League was Kobe Bufkin, and we know he never made it out there due to injury. Nikola Jurišić did show a little something in game one, but then 7 minutes into the second game, he got hurt. Outside of Reza Shea, what did stand out to you about the Hawks Summer League squad that went 0-5?
Honestly, for me, it was Keaton Wallace, the guy who just signed last week a two-way contract with the Hawks. He's someone who was around this team last year, and I think, you know, is someone that is trying to find his way in the league. But what he has shown is really strong defense and good shooting ability. Now, of course, that's going to kind of – it comes in flashes, especially with his performances in Summer League. And yes, you know, those things didn't lead to wins, but I think there's so much that goes into Summer League basketball and like actually winning games. It's very much like preseason football where you're working on specific things for your team. You're trying out different lineups. You're trying things that you wouldn't regularly see. You're also doing things like for the last two Summer League games, Steve Klee was the head coach as far as the guy coming off the bench, calling timeouts, doing all of those things instead of Ronald Norrod, just because this is the Hawks, you know, wanting to give guys different options and availabilities and just pretty typical Summer League stuff. And so as far as the play that came out of it, yeah, I really think that Keaton Wallace secured his spot as a guy who has earned the two-way contract that he's going to have. And as someone who is developing into an NBA type player. I think the other one is Dylan Windler. Windler showed a lot of really good promise as far as his shooting ability. That was something that is part of the reason why he was signed to this team at the end of this past season. I don't think he's going to make the Hawks roster, quite honestly. I just don't think there's a spot for him on this team. But I do think he got some really good run with the Hawks, and I'll be curious to see where he lands because I think his Summer League performance was good enough that some team is going to want that shooting ability and is going to want to sign him.
And then final question here for you, Caleb. You know, obviously, 92.9 The Game, Hawks reporter, and as your duties, you'll be covering the Hawks throughout the course of the offseason. So, like, what's the story you're looking at now or kind of expecting? I mean, it seems like we're headed towards this post-summer league downtime. So what should we be looking for or maybe keeping an eye on before we get to the preseason?
The biggest question to answer right now for the Atlanta Hawks is not who is going to be the two guard. It is who is going to be on this roster at center. Right now, they have five centers. Whether you talk about Clint Capela, Onyeka Okongwu, whether or not they're going to bring back Bruno Fernando. They have Larry Nance Jr. on this roster. They have Cody Zeller on this roster. So they have five different options, and there is absolutely no way they go into the regular season with five centers. The problem is the guy who is probably on the bottom of the totem pole as far as options is Cody Zeller, and because they had to include him in the DeJounte Murray trade and had to do a sign-in trade, he is stuck on this team. He is on this team until at least December, which is the earliest that the Hawks can trade him. So do the Hawks move Larry Nance Jr., a guy who is a very, you know, capable veteran, but is just towards the end of his career? Or do they look at trying to move Clint Capela, who has, you know, been a guy that I think the Hawks, if they have their choice, want to keep because of his rim protection, because of his rebounding ability? Or, you know, do they shop out there in Onyeka Okongwu? Like, there's just so many different options for them to go right now. Or do they do the thing that I think is pretty realistic, but I don't think they want to, which is to say, Bruno Fernando, we just don't have a spot for you, and they have to watch him go somewhere else. Because Bruno is such a big help to the locker room. Just everybody seems to love him, and he's a great third center on this team. But because of the way that they handled the DeJounte Murray trade, they really made things difficult for themselves at that position. And I've got no clue really what they're going to do, but they're going to have to figure out something.
Caleb, appreciate your time as always. I know you're coming up on the air a little bit later tonight, 7 to 10. And so we look forward to listening to you this evening.
Yes, sir.